All right, welcome back. Glad to have you on board. Hour number two tonight. We have a lot of information and a very special guest coming up in just a few minutes. If you remember back in the day, there was... First, let me bring my other half on here. You there, young lady?
I'm here, Jeff.
All right. Well, don't run away.
No.
Sit
never.
Tight. I'm going to do just a little minute or two here. If you long-time listeners remember, back in the late 90s, that was in the mid-90s, actually, we had the mad cow thing in England. Big story. Mad cow. Prion disease. Brain death. They used to try and tell everyone, they're just in the brain, don't worry. Well, it certainly wasn't just in the brain, and we pointed that out on the program here. It's everywhere in the cow, and you can eat a piece of steak and end up with prions. That has happened. So that's in the 90s. Also in the 90s, we had the high point of the cattle mutilation story, allegedly by extraterrestrials, probably by extraterrestrials, maybe in concert with U.S. military people. That's possible. And nobody could figure out why they were doing this to the cows. Why are they cutting out the tonsils, the tongue, the reproductive organs? They had special organs they were going for every single time. And then it turned up that not only cows were being mutilated, but llamas in South America, horses, sheep, dogs and cats, and I even had a picture sent to me of a human being mutilated in the exact same format. Same organs removed, just like all the other animal types. And it dawned on me one day that there's a real purpose for this. What could it be? And the organs that were being taken were organs that in the human body and in mammals are specific reservoirs for prions. So I put this together in my own little way that the people doing the cattle mutilations, or cattle mutes as they were called, were actually... and are, it's still going on, not as much. They were tracking the spread of prions through the environment, through the animal world, perhaps through the plant world. Now we've got prion disease in cows. We have it also in deers, and I think it's 37 states in deer. 37 states, deer reported now with mad deer disease, or CWD, chronic wasting disease. It's the same thing. It's all the same thing. The cow feed that was put in the pastures for cattle to graze on had brains from sheep and so forth mixed up in it. And the deer would come in and eat the same thing the cows did. That's how the deer got it. And then it began to be spread from deer to deer. Easily done. All body fluids. If a deer licks another deer, they can spread it that way. You get the idea. It's the same with people. Prions are easily spread. Now, we have a bioweapon here that has been turned loose on the world. And this bioweapon, among other things, destroys major systems in the body. This is the most diabolical, satanic bioweapon I could even imagine. And it's very adept at destroying the primary targets in the body. There are others. Let me name some of the big ones here that this bioweapon injection kills. The blood, it destroys the blood, it turns it into sludge blood. You all know, we've talked about that many, many times. The entire body's arterial and venous system is destroyed. The endothelial cells are ruined. The immune system is destroyed. The digestive tract is ruined. The heart is destroyed. All major organs in the body targeted by these weapons, lungs, liver, kidney, etc., etc. The entire reproductive system destroyed. The entire neurology in the body targeted and being destroyed. And if the injured are still hanging on after dealing with that crap for a couple of years, it does appear that prions generated by the spike proteins from either the bioweapon virus or the bioweapon injections will destroy the human brain. Look at it as the cleanup hitter in baseball. That's my take on it. The war on the human species certainly shows the possibility that this is ultimately an extinction level event, an ELE. That's on the table. I'm not ready to take that off yet at all. Maybe if the evil ones get their way, as their plan seems to indicate, that only about 500 million humans will be allowed to survive, what's going to be left? Why leave 500 million? Maybe they won't. Maybe they're going to clean the whole planet. Or is the chatter about 500 million left just another misdirection? Could it be that the entire species is indeed being removed? I don't know. We're watching this very closely. We know that shedding and physical contact are taking down many so-called vax deniers. That was built into this whole bioweapon attack on humanity. They knew shedding would be a vicious competitor with the actual injection, and it has been. It's taking up the slack. This is a bad situation. All right, now, that said, it's prions that are, we've been really pushing this for some time. We started several years ago, but prions are perhaps the most dangerous and deadly factor of all of them. I don't know, but they're right there. What do you think?
Yes, they're in the mix, certainly. I mean, we just have to continue to watch and observe. I mean, there's evidence for everything you've just stated, anecdotal evidence, and then quite a bit of solid research showing that there are structural changes to the brain that occur after the infection, even mild infections. And certainly with these injections that they told people were vaccines, there's damage to multiple body symptoms. And, you know, it's been estimated that the spike protein can disrupt no less than 300 different biochemical metabolic pathways.
300 in the body. I mentioned 8 or 9 targeted, obviously targeted, platforms in the body: the blood, the immune system, the arterial venous system, the heart, digestive tract, all major organs, the entire reproductive system, the entire neurology, and the brain. What else is left? Oh, I'm sure they could find something. But that's what we're up against here. This is not a one-off deal. It's looking to destroy everything in the human body. Headline today, as if we don't know this, and all of you listening know this: COVID vaccine shedding is real. FDA and Pfizer documents are proof, say clinicians. Now, this is on Zero Hedge. Talk about missing the train and being a little late. This is well known. We've said it for years. And shedding, if you're out there and you're not vaxxed and you want to try, even if you are vaxxed, we don't want anybody to get shed upon, whether you're vaxxed or otherwise. Especially if you're vaxxed, you don't need any more. So, you know, wake up. Take this seriously. It's a life and death situation. All right, we have a very special guest tonight, and I'm speaking for both of us when we're extremely proud to have her on. She's a really heroic fighter. She has been vaxxed several times. She is a professional nurse of the highest order. She is known around the world in many circles as one of the great ones. She's after it. She doesn't play games, and we're very happy to have Nurse Lindsay House on tonight. Hello, Lindsay. Welcome.
Hey, Jeff. Hey, Erica. I'm so excited to be here with you guys. I'm ready to drop some truth bombs with y'all.
Awesome. Welcome, Lindsay. Good to have you here.
I'm a big fan of you, Erica, especially you. Sorry, Jeff. I love you, Jeff, too, but I had to give
well,
my shout out
too.
To the girl.
We love you, too. Thank you for doing what you're doing. You really are a hero.
Thanks. I don't consider myself as one. I'm just a small-town country girl that I feel like God called me to assignment, and I came to assignment, and this is bigger than myself. This is humanity, and we have to save our children. That's the main goal.
Sure.
I couldn't even believe it. When they declared war on children and childhood with these injections, that was absolutely beyond belief for me. I had to work on that to accept that. How could they do that? And I came to the conclusion that the controllers, they're beyond satanic. This is abject evil that we're up against. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. It's just, and they're still pushing it, even though they know what's inside these vials and what they're investigating, especially in me. I'm one of the ones that's being tested for DNA integration, and they know this is going on, and they still have not pulled these shots for investigation or even let the public know for that matter.
It's incredible, yeah.
We have to look at people as really, I don't know how old you are, Lindsay, it doesn't matter, but you remember how things were 30, 40 years ago, I'm sure. And
yeah,
the American,
I was born in the 80s.
There you go. The American people are no longer competent. Not all of them, but the majority. They have been taken down. They have been dumbed down into utter subservience, obedience, and denial. They will not go into uncomfortable places unless they're forced into it. It's not the same people. So when we think of what things were like in the 80s and 70s and so forth, those people are not here anymore. And younger people now, what, under 40s, have no idea what we lived through, what our people were like then, how intelligent most people were. They had wits. They had brains. Not anymore. It's changed. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I feel like common sense is not so common anymore. And people's critical skills have went completely out the window. Completely.
Exactly.
I would blame the advent of the so-called smartphone for a lot of this.
Yeah. You can't rule that out either. Absolutely.
You really don't have to think for yourself anymore. The phone tells you what to think.
Right. You're in trouble, you grab that phone. Tell our listeners just a little tiny bit about how you got stuck with these, and I'm not being funny, but how you got stuck with the injections. How'd that come about? Because you're a smart gal. So what happened?
So as a nurse, I had just actually graduated nursing school 2019. I had been in the ER for 9 years, but not as a nurse. So I was a brand new grad nurse, and as soon as I was left out on my own of orientation, COVID hit. So I was in the ICU, and I worked the COVID ICU in the ER. And so we were mandated. At first, of course, I did not want it. And at first, they were not offering any religious or medical exemptions, but then they had to go back and at least offer religious exemptions. So at my facility, it's really small, in North Carolina, really small facility. And they were denying a lot of our religious exemptions. So my concerns were, first of all, how long it took to come out. And then second of all, I haven't had children yet, so I was worried about infertility issues. Meanwhile, they were telling us, you know, you're going to kill your grandma, you're going to kill your grandpa, you're going to get your family sick, you're going to get your patients sick. Like, we were getting coerced and bullied pretty much every single day until we caved in. So I got my two Modernas. And then I got my booster. And the reason I had gotten my booster was because my husband and I were planning to have a baby, and I did not want them to mandate it while I was pregnant. So I went ahead and got my booster. And then 8 hours after, I had symptoms, and then they kindly went away. But on day 10, they came back, and I was in full force cytokine storm, and I didn't know it.
Ouch. Mm. Did you have much trouble?
After 2 years, I'm still in cytokine storm. We just got my cytokine panel back.
Well, I was going to ask you, did you have much trouble getting past that? And I remember what we talked about earlier today, and you're still in it. So it never went away.
Never went away. I'm still in it.
My God.
What kind of symptoms are you struggling with now?
So I have really bad severe POTS, which is postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome. Anytime I stand up, the blood rushes to my feet and away from my heart and my lungs, causing my heart to pump harder. And so I get really dizzy because the blood flow is not getting to my brain, and I can pass out at any time. Heart rate ranges from high 90s, just laying flat, to when I stand up in the 150s, 160s. When I sleep, it dips down into the 40s to the 60 range. So there's a big difference in ranges. Another ailment I have is mast cell activation syndrome, and it goes hand to hand with the cytokine storm. I release a lot of histamine, and environmental factors like light, bright light, loud noises, stuff like that activates histamines in me, and I start to get hot flashes. And it's kind of like you're in this fight or flight stance 24/7, and your system's just in a chaotic state, and you can't calm it down. Those are my three major ones, and I do have tremors in my hands as well.
Are those new, or have they been there all along? Or
they came in month 5 after I had the shingles and activated Epstein-Barr virus that I had in high school. So they
got nailed. Shingles, Epstein-Barr, you got it. Wow.
Yeah, wow. I got it all. And then I lost my hair. You know, you guys have seen some of my pictures. My hair has grown back since then, but it's starting to thin out again. And what we discovered is I went from 60% functional, where I could get out of the bed and do my activities of daily living, like shower, bathe, cook a meal, you know, stuff we take for granted every day, being an able-bodied person, being able to work and stuff like that, to back down to 30%. And what we found out is not only am I a spike protein factory that keeps reproducing spike, and the way we figured this out is we tested my monocyte lines in 2022, and all three monocyte lines had spike protein in them. And then we cleared the spike out last summer, and we just retested again, and my monocyte lines are back to being transfected with spike. So I'm one of the unlucky ones that continuously is producing the spike protein.
Was there a point where you were able to clear the spike satisfactorily, and then it came back?
Yes. But what we did to clear the spike, I don't know if you've heard of Dr. Bruce Patterson yet.
Yes.
So the monocyte lines that were transfected were specifically my CCR5 receptor site area. And what he does for his protocol, he offers an HIV medication called Maraviroc. And although I do not have HIV, we're using it off-label because it's a CCR5 inhibitor. And what it does is it attaches to that CCR5 receptor site so that the spike protein can attach. And then I'm also on an atorvastatin. I know statins are really bad for you to be on, but for short term until we can get the spike cleared, what he thinks is happening is that it's breaking down the lipid nanoparticles because the statins break down lipids and fats. And so he thinks it's breaking down the spike that way. So the Maraviroc keeps it from attaching, and then the statin breaks it down, and then I try to clear it from my body the best that I can.
Did you have symptom relief when you were able to achieve a non-detectable level of spike?
I did, and that's when I saw progression from 30%, where I was bedbound and couldn't get out of the bed, to the 60%, where I could stand up longer than 10 to 15 minutes, not passing out. My heart rate was somewhat stable, and I was starting to progress towards my baseline. But then it stopped, and I started to decline again, and that's when we figured out that my monocyte line was transfected.
How were you treated by your employer when this came about?
Oh, horrible. They still have not reached out to apologize to me. They called me a hypochondriac, a conspiracy theorist. They thought I was abusing my ADHD medication.
Despicable.
They actually thought I was manic, and they had written me up, and they had planned to commit me to an inpatient psych unit. But that's when my doctor pulled me out and diagnosed me. I am confirmed, diagnosed, and documented all over my medical chart with vaccine injured. And it has temporal causation from the vaccine injection time. He even has that charted in there. So he did really well with his chart, and he did amazing. He saved my life. Because if I would have went into the psych unit, I would have died. Because when he got me, I was probably -5 on my way out. I was circling the drain.
Wow. Was there anyone else at your workplace who was similarly affected?
Not that I knew of that was speaking out. Now, I had left the ER and the ICU and went to the oncology unit, and that's where I received the bad treatment, was the oncology facility that I was at. Forgot to mention that part. But the ER folks that I worked with in the ICU, there have been three other ones that have come out with vaccine injuries that I all worked with, and then there are some with minor things such as hair loss and menstrual issues and stuff like that, but they don't really speak upon it.
Let me ask you a question. This is a little bit of a stretch, but just off the top of your head, a guesstimate of the, let's say there are 275 million Americans who have taken at least one shot. I think it's probably safe to bet that is the number. How many of those people who have had at least one shot right now have, quote, end quote, never been the same or battling injuries and symptomology that is obviously equating with the injections? How many of them are sick? How many people out there walking around now who have been injected once or more have problems? Any guesstimate on that? I'm trying to figure this out.
I would say at least almost everybody has had a new diagnosis or new ailment since the vaccines rolled out. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm going to say this. I feel like we should prove it's the vaccine until proven otherwise in these people, because so much data, although they're hiding us and they're sweeping us under the rug and we can't get the data out, but the data that we do have, I feel like it's pointing to that.
All right, fair enough.
Seems pretty obvious.
Yeah. This weapon, still, some of the top doctors will not call it a bioweapon. They still call it a vaccine. Some will qualify and say, well, it was a poorly made vaccine or a failed vaccine. It's a weapon. It was designed, created, and deployed as a weapon. It's antithetical to life. And I wish these doctors would start to call it for what it is. Now, I understand that they may not be able to. They're under pressure. Nobody wants any more heat from the so-called government. But it's not a vaccine. And we keep saying that. It has nothing to do with the vaccine.
It's not at all. They even had to change the definition to fit it. It's a bioweapon. It's labeled that in the patents. It's biologic. I mean, my diagnosis code is adverse reaction to mRNA vaccine. And then the T code is T50.B95A. And it's adverse reaction to biologics and other vaccines is what it has.
Here's one other quick question, and I'll get Erica back in here. People are dying. Lots and lots of people are dying. And many, if they're not dying, they probably wish they had. That's only semi-facetious. These vax injuries are hideous.
That's right.
And,
it's hideous. I wouldn't wish this on my worst enemy.
Right. Well, that says it all. The people who are dying, whether it's demonstrable or not, from the vaccine or the bioweapon virus, remember that virus is just as damn bad as the shots in some respects. Of all those people who are dying, how many doctors are actually professional enough to put on their cause of death vax injury? I say very few. They're using a whole basket full of names, terminologies, syndromes, whatever, but they're lying. So we don't know really how many are dying from these shots and or the virus. Is that a fair statement?
That is very fair, Jeff. I would say not many. I could probably name them all off the top of my head, and you've actually had a few of them on here, and they're the ones that get the most hate and the most trolling and the most silenced as well.
Wow. Go ahead, Erica.
Yeah, I what have you found besides the pharmaceuticals that help in terms of, you know, alleviating the symptoms, so to speak, getting you somewhat functional?
Yeah, let me add on to that. There are so many supplements out there now. People are confused.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do. They don't know who to believe. So, and we're not asking you to recommend necessarily anything. But it is it's a bad walk for people. It's a jungle of supplements out there and people making claims. So what do you think?
Well, I think one of the things that I've heard seems to be a game changer for a lot of people is just the hyperbaric oxygen, if you can afford it.
That's a big one. Carl Warner, he's a professional mountain biker. He's vaccine injured, and he does the eight spot, and he has really helped him. But like Erica says, it costs money, and there's not a lot of facilities. So that's a problem that we've run into is a lot of it has financially, you know, disrupted a lot of us completely, not only physically, but financially and mentally and emotionally, too. But yeah, eight
Well, in your situation, was your insurance, did you have insurance, and are they covering your treatments?
So I did have insurance, and then after after my medical leave ran up with them, they yanked my insurance, so I went under my husband's. And then a year after being medically unable to work, they finally fired me, and they let me go as unable to medically come back to work, but eligible for rehire when I'm able to come back.
Well,
I would never go back there.
I really have to watch my verbiage when I think about those people.
Yeah, it pisses me off. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no,
incredible.
It made me very mad.
It's truly unbelievable. The number of doctors that you've met along the way who are willing to accept the fact that these are biological weapons, either the vax or the virus, how often do you run into them? Probably more now than before, but 2-3 years ago, there weren't many around. Because remember, the mandate was that all professional healthcare workers in America had to take the shots. So one-third of the professionals in this country walked. They left the business. They walked away from their jobs. Some of them found corollaries, but two-thirds
so
stayed.
Proud of them too.
Yes. Two-thirds stayed and took the shots, allegedly. We're talking again in generalities here. But those people are, in many cases, fighting illness, fighting symptoms, and having problems. So tell me about the quality of doctors that when you began to try to investigate your injuries, who were there with any knowledge or wisdom at all?
So it was really hard at first, especially like on social networks, because we were censored and restricted on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. So Twitter and X, what they call it now, is the only platform that we were able to freely talk about it. And that's when we started finding all the doctors that were speaking out about it. And that's when I truly got connected with a lot of them. Dr. Corey is one of my physicians who treats me along with two others that I won't name on here, but that were part of a team. But honestly, Jeff, we're so complex that not one doctor is going to be able to handle or treat us. We're going to need different people from each specialty to tackle us, since you know how complex we are that you've already mentioned and how many different pathways and pathologies that are going on inside of us.
It's mind-boggling, and it's really beyond the ability for most people to begin to wrap their heads around this. They don't want to even go to the concept of the government willingly or willfully harming them. They don't want to go there.
Yeah.
I understand.
And they
I
know about us. They have known about us since early 2021, right after the reality shot. That's when this should have been put to a halt by all the injuries and death. When the first Ron Johnson hearing case came out is when the shot should have been pulled off the market then.
Yeah.
It's hard to swallow. It's so hard to swallow.
It is.
It really is.
To digest it all, to synthesize it all, to come up with some kind of sensible approach to it is very difficult. And you always end up, if you do it honestly, with the simple fact that we have been earmarked and marked for elimination. They're killing people.
Yeah.
That's what this is all about. Now, that's too hard for most people to accept. They don't want to go there. I don't blame them. I wouldn't want to go there, but it's the damn truth. And will it
it's
be a total... it's reality. Will there be a total extinction level event? Will we all be wiped out? Or will they go to their 90% goal and stop there? Or will they stop earlier? I don't know what they're going to do. I do know this, that whatever it takes, they will do it to achieve their nefarious satanic goals. They're not going to stop. These people are not human by my measure.
No, they're not. They're not going to stop. And we have two battles going on. We have an information battle and we have a spiritual battle. And I feel like in the end, we're going to win either way, because it's going to take God's divine intervention for us to all win together as one.
I agree.
You know, the truth is not going to be denied. It finds a way.
Yeah. I would hope that all of you listening out there who are fighting, many of you listening have been injected and you are fighting issues. You're not the same. I understand that. I would hope that everyone, whether you're religious in the formal sense or not, hold the best and highest thoughts for some kind of divine intervention. However you want to phrase it, whatever you want to do, we need help. We're not able to overcome the evil that is running this. They have taken control of virtually everything of substance. And what they've done to humanity in terms of psychological debilitation and damage is off the charts. I hope you're right, and I hope we get that kind of intervention. We need it. Even if it's a friendly ET race, that's fine with me. I'm fine with that. Please. So think good thoughts and hold your hopes. Don't let them go. And by all means, ever quit.
I'm not going to stop until my last breath. You don't have to worry about that.
I'm sure you're not. May I ask about this thing started about a year and a half ago, maybe something like that. People began to talk about, ever since my mom got her shots, she's not the same person. Or my brother, or my coworkers, or whatever. Personality changes are absolutely part of this whole territory. And from minor to major, it's doing damage. We know that the spike gets into the hippocampus and can literally remove your autobiographical memory from your life. It's gone. It's not there. You don't have access to it anymore. It's gone. Because the little tiny, we'll call them cells just for fun, call them little hard drives that remember things, that their storage, their memory storage, those are being destroyed by the spike and they're not being replaced. And if they are being replaced, they can't be replaced with the memories that are gone. Your life, autobiographical memory gone in many people. What can you tell us about brain damage from the spike and all the corollaries that are pertinent to it?
Yeah, so what we're seeing in the vaccinator community that we've built, we're seeing brain shrinkage on our one-year follow-up scans, whether it be an MRI or CT scan. We're having brain volume loss on that in just a short amount of time.
Is this physical that you can see it on a scan? It's actually the brain is actually diminished?
Yep, it is. Wow. Sadly, it is. And I can send you some of these scans, too, you can look at.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And there's no other issues with the scan. It just has brain volume loss. It's just some of it's surreal. Some other things that we're seeing is white matter disease. And what that means is your dementia, your Alzheimer's, your Parkinson's, your early onset of multiple sclerosis. What it's doing in the brain and spinal cord is you have myelin sheaths that protect your nerve endings. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a cushion, and these cushions are getting lesions, and they're starting to eat away at each other. So your nerves are getting exposed, and that's why we're seeing a lot of the neurological issues. And we're seeing a lot in the limbic system, like you had mentioned, the hippocampus and stuff like that. And we're also seeing it in the frontal cortex, so your short-term memory, your cognition, your processing, mm-hmm. that sort of thing. And then with the limbic system, you'll get your behavioral changes as well. We're seeing new onset seizures, lots of CIDP, GBS, which is Guillain-Barré syndrome, and transverse myelitis. And then some of the issues with the heart, of course, we're seeing myocarditis, pericarditis. But we're now seeing some of us that have been in POTS for 2 and 3 years, they're starting to get congestive heart failure. We have a couple of nurses that are now in congestive heart failure. We just had a memorial for one of our fallen ones Saturday. He succumbed to turbo cancer. and his wife also has cancer as well, and she was a nurse. Another alarming fact that's going to blow your minds is we're seeing a decline in sperm count. I have a 20-year-old and a 30-year-old, a mid-30-year-old, who have zero sperm counts now. So what I fear is if we don't get a hold on this, our children are going to be demented, sterilized, and with myocarditis. But those are some of the big things that we're seeing. We're also seeing the MTHFR gene mutation in a lot of us as well.
This goes back to the late Dr. Arne Burkhardt's work when he began doing autopsies on the vax deceased and found out that in the men he autopsied, he couldn't find a single sperm left, nothing. Only spike protein. It had replaced all the sperm with spike. That's what this does to you. Unbelievable.
I've been advising both men unvaxxed and vaxxed, because the shedding is going to be a huge problem for the unvaxxed, that you guys need to also check your sperm counts as well.
All right, let's just follow that shedding. I was going to go there anyway. How... A lot of people will suggest that what you're saying, what Eric and I are saying, is kind of overboard. Well, come on. We don't have to worry like that. If we just don't share food or share bottles of beverage, drinks, and all that, we're okay. We can just stay away. This shedding thing is so multifaceted and dangerous. And as we say on the program here, Lindsay, sex now kills.
Yeah.
Sex kills. And that's not an exaggeration.
No. It's transmitted through bodily fluids, so mucus, anything that has a mucous membrane. So vaginal fluids, sperm, sputum, nasal mucus, spit,
sweat.
Everything.
Sweat?
Sweat, breast milk, urine. Yep.
Yeah. It's very hard to introduce these concepts, as you well know, to people who just don't want to hear it. And I've honestly gotten to the point now, some time ago, where I tell people, if you run into somebody who doesn't want to hear it, go on to the next person. Don't waste your time trying to convince people. Either they want to know or they don't. And if they don't, just don't go there. Shedding is a huge thing. Erica and I wear masks, N95, and we both have full-face respirators. If it gets to that point, it may be there soon, if it isn't already. We wear masks out whenever we're around people, any group of people going to any business, and God help people who are going into doctor's office in a little 8x10 treatment exam room, 8x10 feet. It's full of spike. It has to be. Anyhow, we wear masks, and we're wearing gloves, because one of the dirtiest things you can encounter out there shopping is a shopping cart. You put your hand on that thing and push it around, both hands, and you're picking up spike, which can go right through your skin. So we're wearing lightweight gloves, not big, heavy-duty industrial gloves, but just common sense. And that whole six-foot thing, as you know, was kind of a canard. But for me, I'll try and make it 10 to 12 feet. I just don't want to be near anyone who's exhaling spike. I don't want spike.
Nope, you don't. You don't want spike. And like me, I'm a spike protein factory. So if I saw you come at me in that garb, I would not be offended at all.
Well, that's nice of you to say. It's
I give you a big hug, but I hope you're protected.
And the other thing, of course, is the idea that people got confused with the mask thing in the beginning. Remember how they were trying to make it into a constitutional invasion of your privacy and your rights to choice? You have to wear a mask.
Yep.
No, I don't. Well, they got people tricked. The bottom line is a mask will help. How much? I don't know. If it's worn properly, an N95 can certainly diminish and cut down the amount of spike that you're inhaling, you're being exposed to. We don't think it's a bad thing at all, never have. But a lot of people will not touch it because of this this constitutional right to choose. I understand that. What are your thoughts on wearing an N95 mask in a supermarket, for example, for 10, 20 minutes, whatever?
I don't see nothing wrong with that at all, especially if you feel it's keeping you safe and away from the spike. Now, I wouldn't wear no cloth mask or a diaper or underwear or something like, you know, some of these people put on their faces. Yeah. But like an N95 or a respirator, absolutely.
Very good. Do you go out, Lindsay, shopping much in stores? And how do you address that whole issue of being around others? You're already carrying a heavy burden of vax injuries. And I know you wouldn't want any more.
Yeah, I don't really leave the house because I can't get up and move around much. But when I do go out, I try to be mindful of that. And it's I call it the wild when I go out in public because it is the wild to me because I haven't really been out much because I've been bedbound and housebound. But knowing that I am a spike protein factor, I have to be mindful of that as well. That's something good to point out, Jeff.
We also try to mention that shedding is not good for the vaxxed either. We're not just concerned about the unvaxxed. It's anybody. This stuff is spread. This is the most evil thing that humankind, has ever created. And I'm personally not convinced it was all human. It's that diabolical. It's that diverse. It's got that many tentacles. It would not surprise me if there was some outside help. Let me just leave it at that. I'm just putting things on the table for people to consider. It's that evil. It literally goes after your entire biophysiology. This thing is not a joke by any means. It's utter death and catastrophe for many, many people.
I would agree completely with that. It's definitely not something that's human at all. I would agree with that.
Well, that's a good statement to hear. You live in no fear, that's for sure. People can mock that all they want. But I would challenge anybody, name one thing that even comes close to this horror as a bioweapon. And I don't think they could.
Harming babies and knowingly harming children, like, that just blows my mind.
It's not human. It's not what this species is about. Look at nature. Look at animals giving birth. Come on, the babies are always protected, and our babies are being targeted now, and our babies are being killed. Okay, and I'm not exaggerating here. This is happening.
Mm-hmm. It is. It really is.
Erica, what else do you have you want to bring up? This has been extremely helpful.
Yeah, one pattern that I've noticed is in some of these the vax injured people is that they had begun to make some progress in their recovery, and as soon as those boosters came out last September, many of them had setbacks, significant setbacks, and it makes me think that the shedding is affecting these people. It's affecting everybody. And, you know, you hate to see people having made progress, getting some functionality back, and then to have
such a massive
setback.
You cleared the spike, basically. Was shedding a factor, do you think, in becoming a spike factory again?
Possibly, but I don't think so because I live alone now. Me and my husband actually separated, so that was another hurdle that some of the injured are having or dissolving marriages. Yeah. So I don't think that played a factor with me, but it does play a factor. And what we're seeing with the shedding, some of the symptoms, or we're seeing like hair loss and menstrual cycle issues. A lot of young women are having issues, and as young as 8 and 9 years old, starting their periods early. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum, we're having menopausal women that have been in, you know, menopause for 10 plus years start to re-bleed. So we're seeing it on both ends.
Yeah, was, I think, one of the red flags at the beginning of the rollout, that it was the women.
Yeah.
having these issues and being, you know, somewhat vocal about it that drew the attention to this shedding issue. Otherwise, we, you know, it could have gone on undetected for, well, indefinitely. Who would have known? You know, you just know that
and
you feel crappy, but
Kevin
you don't
McKernan.
Know why.
Yeah, God bless right. Kevin McKernan. He accidentally found the plasmid DNA in the SB40 promoter and the pseudouridine in the vials.
I know. It the whole thing's utterly scandalous, and, you know, it's hard to believe that that was accidental.
Right. And they've tried to clean it up since then, but they haven't done any cleanup whatsoever. The vials are still...
Why would they? They have no liability.
Exactly.
I don't think this
is...
It's not a contamination issue. This was all planned, I think. I really do.
No,
nothing left to happenstance or chance. Also, people will often write on these social media boards that they'll ask questions like, right now, they'll still ask these questions. Is it safe to me to date and have sex with a vaxxed woman? And... people just don't want to give up their good times, male or female. It doesn't matter. But if you want to play Russian roulette with your life, you engage in that behavior. Otherwise, you literally are going to have to self-isolate to as much of a degree as you can and continue to function. But you cannot mix with you can't mix your vax status anymore. Can't.
And that's why they say sperm is going to be the new Bitcoin.
I've seen some stories about that. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised.
Well, this is going to be
incredible.
You said you're being checked for the DNA integration. That's going to be very interesting to see those results. What did they take for samples?
2-3 weeks. Samples, they use stool sample. For the DNA. And then once the results come back, I would be willing to share anything I can with you guys, whether it be good or bad. Hopefully in my case it doesn't come back that it has integrated, but if it has, then I've accepted the fact that we just got to figure out where we need to go from here. Because what they ultimately did was use CRISPR-Cas9 mixed with mRNA technology, I fear. And I fear that they're going to want us to use CRISPR-Cas9 technology to reverse it, but I'm not messing with my beans again.
Yeah, I strongly suspect that what they've done now paves the way for using CRISPR to correct it.
Yep, exactly. And you saw the Pfizer commercial from the Super Bowl. I don't know if you watched the Super Bowl, but at least the commercial, I posted it on my timeline on X. But it was a disgusting commercial. They basically mocked the vaccine injured, and they told us their plan next was cancer treatment. So we know they're causing turbo cancer.
Yeah.
I didn't see the commercial. I didn't watch the game. I'm just not interested.
But I'll have to send it to you. It's disgusting. They used
like
a Freddie Mercury song.
Well. Please do send it if you can, Lindsay. That'd be great.
This whole
idea of this... football player Travis Kelce, I don't know how much they paid him. Pfizer paid him to be there.
Him and Taylor Swift.
Oh, she too?
Yeah, she's part of the NATO PSYOPs. I don't know if you've seen that, but she was like their poster girl for getting the message out and using her as a celebrity for their PSYOPs commercials.
Well,
and of course, she started dating Travis Kelce. So
I see. It's all deceit. Deception, it's bread and circuses. The Romans figured out how to keep the masses entertained and amused so they wouldn't cause trouble. It's all lies. And I'm just beside myself with trying to help people understand that the amount of deception that they're facing constantly, their reality, most people's reality, comes from what they see on that screen, whether it's in their hand or on the wall or on their computer. That's their reality. It becomes a de facto case of programming people with a virtual reality. So it's tough to communicate with people like that. It is hard.
It is. It's very hard. And especially if they're not ready to hear it, you have to break them down in bits and pieces of what is what we figured out. And once they're ready to come to terms with it, then we open our arms to them. But until then, We just have to keep showing them the information, the correct vetted information in our journeys along, you know, some of the injured, like myself, have had physical ailments along with the internal. So with me, you can see it on the outside and it grabs their attention. And with the others, they can tell their stories and be like, oh, I can relate to this or I can relate to that. And it starts to open their eyes a little bit more.
Lindsay, we're out of time. I don't even know how to begin to thank you. We both have the highest regard for you and what you're doing and what you're fighting. And if you can come back when your results come in, that would be great. We'd love to have you back and find out.
Yes, thanks for having
me, Lindsay.
And I'd love to come back. Thanks, Erica.
Okay.
Appreciate you.
We'll keep our fingers crossed on those test results for a negative integration. Let's hope.
Let's hope and pray.
Thank you. Thanks, Lindsay. Thanks, dear.
Okay, thanks, Lindsay.
Get to sleep. All righty. Well, what do you say? Another person severely damaged, fighting the great fight. She doesn't go out. She can't get up and around much. And there are many of you listening right now who are suffering in the same way. Many. And I just wish that we had something we could point to that would absolutely begin to reverse this. But it was absolutely designed to be so diabolical and deadly, this thing. They're not playing games, the enemy. The enemy of life, the enemy of humankind. They're not playing games. This is seriously ELE potential.
No, it's taken quite a toll on a large, large number of people.
Right. Okay, we will say good night until Wednesday when Eric and I will be back. Thank you. Great job, always.
Okay, thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Lindsay. Good night, everyone.
Yes, and our thanks to Lindsay, indeed. Be right back with more. Hold on.